Sometimes I will go during the week, go to our website and play the special music, the offertories again, and listen to them. If you don't know that, they're on our website, and the special music is separated. You can listen to the entire service if you want, or you can go and listen to individual special music there. It's sumterbiblechurch.org. And it's a blessing to me to go back and listen to something that speaks to my heart during the service, and I appreciate those who minister in music here. and Deuteronomy chapter 27, 28, and 29. Three chapters this morning that we're going to consider. And as we look at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, where God says to half of the tribes, go up and proclaim on Mount Gerizim these blessings, and then on Mount Ebal, the other six tribes, go there and pronounce these curses that God has. And as we look at these three chapters this morning, seven parts to my outline today, we'll go through some of them more quickly than others. We're going to see the plastered stones that we read about a moment ago in our scripture reading, and then the pronounced cursings and the promised blessings from those two mounts, and then the pending troubles for those who don't abide by the blessings there, and then the perceptive people that belong to God, a people that will be presented before Him, and then some private information that God shares with His people. So that's where we're heading this morning and this next half hour with these three chapters. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the way it was displayed here whenever they crossed over Jordan with these plastered stones, and help us that we might exalt the Word of God in our lives by living accordingly. For it's in Christ's name. Amen. As we look, first of all, as he goes over, he says to them in chapter 27 that they are to, as they cross, verse 2, it shall be that on the day when you shall pass over Jordan, that you shall plaster these stones with plaster. And we're going to get to what that means in just a little bit, but first we're going to look at the when. Notice in verse 2 when they're to do that, on the day that you go over Jordan. You know, some days are special, aren't they? Well, every day is a day that God has made, but we celebrate certain days. We celebrate birthdays. We have Christmas. We have Thanksgiving. A lot of different days. Easter Sunday, the day the Lord rose from the dead. We have a date where we celebrate our anniversary there. And here's a special day, a day that they passed over Jordan. You know, and that's a picture in passing from Egypt across the Red Sea. That day is a picture of salvation. And going over Jordan's a picture of the victorious Christian life. And we think about our salvation. And we can look back, if you're saved, you might not know the exact date. I don't know the exact date. I know I was saved when I was 9 years old at a camp, summer camp, in Sherrall, South Carolina. And in my mind, I can picture that camp, and I told my wife not long ago I'd sort of like to go back to Sherrall and see if that place is still there where I got saved. And so, but I remember that day. And so God says there's a special day that whenever you cross over, this is what you're to do. You are to plaster these whole stones in verse 6. They weren't to use any instruments on them. They were to take these big stones and set them up. And how they did that must have been amazing to watch. And they were to whitewash them, as they used to refer to it. We would be similar to painting them. And so they were to take these whole stones and they were to paint them. And on these stones, they were going to write God's word on it. And so as the people would see it, being whitewashed, white in the scripture has to do with purity. And of course, as people would come and they would see the stones radiant, just radiate God's word. God elevates his word very highly. And so whenever you cross over, he says, you're going to take these stones and you're going to plaster them and you're going to write on them all of these words there. And then we come to the why. What are they going to do after that? God says you're going to offer offerings, burnt offerings in verse 6, peace offerings in verse 7, and then he says you're going to eat and rejoice. Now those are easy commands, aren't they? To eat and rejoice. We kind of do that pretty easily there. We enjoy the times of fellowship we have when we eat and rejoice. That's what God has for his people. He has enjoyment. He has pleasure at his hands forevermore that he wants to give to his people. And so he tells them whenever they go over to rejoice. And in verse 8 it says, and you'll write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. God's word is plain. Now there are some things that are complicated. We have a hard time understanding there. One of my responsibilities, I start to say jobs, it's not really a job, is preaching the word of God and making it plain. God wants his word to be clear there. And so as we look at the word of God, he says, it's up on a stone and it's written there and it's to be very plain so people can see it, people can understand it and know what God has said to them. Verse 9, he says, and Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake to all of Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day, there's that special day again, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. You know, we're not automatically people of the Lord in the New Testament. There must be a day where we come to be a child of God. We're not children of God because our parents are saved. We're not children of God because we go to church. Not children of God because we go to a Christian school. He says, you're become the people of God this day. And I remember the day that I became a child of God there. And so the word of God is plastered for all the people to see. They're to rejoice. They're to bring offerings. They're to eat. They're to fellowship because it's a special day there. There's another special day coming. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day when we see him? Well, he goes on and he pronounces some curses beginning in chapter 27, verse 11. It says, Moses charged the people that same day. He said, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. And he named six tribes there in verse 12. And verse 13, he says, and these six tribes are going to stand at Mount Ebal to curse. Verse 14, and the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. You'll notice the tribe Levi is not in those 12. So all of these 12 tribes of Israel, six are going to pronounce the blessings and six are going to pronounce the curses. And there are 12 here. And beginning at verse 15, where it says the first curse, if you have your Bible, you'll notice that to every one of these curses, it says, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. 12 times. And so we hear that said, you know, when all God's people said and everybody says amen. Well, this is where that is. And so what we're going to do this morning, I'm not going to take time to go over each of these 12 curses, but I'm going to put all of them on the screen and I'm going to read it. And after all 12, when I finish reading, all God's people are going to say amen. All right, you got it, okay? So let's look at these 12. It says, curses be the man that makes any graven molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and puts it in a secret place. Amen. Cursed be he that sets light by his father or his mother. Amen. All right, set light means to make light of, not to esteem very highly. So the condemnation is not honoring parents here, and all God's people said amen, as you did. And the next one, cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark. Amen. Cursed be he that mocks the blind to wander out of the way. Amen. That would be cruel, wouldn't it? Abusing a blind person. Cursed be he that perverts the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When God gives to them what they deserve and someone perverts that and withholds it from them. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife because he uncovereth his father's skirt. That would be his stepmother. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And you've probably seen in the news that there are countries now that have legalized that very thing there. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Two more. Cursed be he that takes reward to slay an innocent person.
those that get paid for killing unborn babies? That certainly would apply in this verse, wouldn't it? Cursed be he that get paid to slay innocent babies. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of this law to do them. And that kind of sums up everything, does it? If you don't do these things, cursed are those who don't do these things. And so all of these curses are pronounced there. And so whenever you see this word confirmeth, it's a Hebrew word that means to rise up or stand. And so the idea is to rise up and stand to show honor and respect to the Word of God. And God says, I want you to take my word, I want you to write it very plainly, plastered on stone, so everybody can see it there. And those who don't obey will be cursed. Now he goes on and he gives some blessings, and the people didn't say amen after each one of these, so I'll give you a break on these, and we won't do that either. But these blessings that we read in chapter 28 in the first 14 verses, they were conditional blessings. Some of God's promises are unconditional, and some are conditional, which you see with the word if, obviously. So in chapter 28, verse 1, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord to observe and to do. If you hearken diligently. In the Hebrew or in any other language that you're translating over into English, oftentimes you don't just translate it word for word. And so when we look at the Hebrew here, there's not a word for hearken and a word for diligently. There's a word for hear, and it's used twice. And so it says here that if thou shalt hear to hear. And sometimes people might hear not to hear. They might hear just to get it over with. But he says, I want you to hear to hear. I want you to be listening to what I tell you and hearken diligently here. He goes on to say what he will do in verse 1. He says that God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And isn't that what God did with Israel? His people, he set them on high. And he says, I'm going to curse those that curse Israel. I'm going to bless those that bless Israel. And this was a conditional promise that God had made to them. Not only was this promise conditional, but verse 2, we see also it was copious. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. The idea of overtaking, blessings are going to be pursuing you, and they're going to catch up to you, and these blessings are going to overshadow you, and they're going to be abundant, as the word copious there. And God says all of these blessings. So let's look at these blessings very quickly. We'll just read them before we go over to the next thing. Blessed thou in the city, and when you're in the field, there you're going to be blessed, whether in the house or out in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine or oxen, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. There, the basket of fruit. Brother Paul shared last week, he used that verse in Deuteronomy, and we had just been in that chapter where we saw the basket of fruit that they brought as an offering to the Lord. He says, blessed shalt thou be when you come in, and when you go out, as you come about in your daily lives, you're going to be blessed in all the things that you're doing. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Notice it doesn't say you're going to be blessed without enemies. You're going to be blessed without opposition. He didn't say that. But he said, the Lord will cause them to be smitten. The Lord will go with us. The Lord will give us power over the opposition and the enemies that we face. He doesn't remove it from us, but he goes with us through them. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and the storehouses, and all that thou settest thy hand to do. Your work, God's going to bless it. Your storehouses, they will increase. And this is conditional. If you do these things, God says, the Lord will establish thee as a holy people unto himself. Israel in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. God's people and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, the treasures of heaven. He'll pour out a blessing. Malachi tells us he gives the rain in his season. God's going to bless with that. And you'll be the one that has the finances to lend. You're not going to be borrowing because God's going to take care of all your needs. People will look to you for help. And the Lord will make thee the head and not the tail there. And God is going to put you in leadership. It's sort of like people wearing costumes, you know. You ever seen that where they put on the donkey costume? You know, everybody wants to be the head, they don't want to be the tail. God says, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail here. And so when we come to the end of these blessings in verse 14, chapter 28, it says, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. Not to the right, not to the left. God says, you go straight on. You do what I command you. He says, there are wonderful blessings, abundant blessings that are going to overtake you. You'll be just surrounded with them and weighed down with blessings rather than weighed down with cursings. What a wonderful promise God is giving. Then he goes on and he says, there can be some trouble if you don't. And it's almost like the curses all over again. Some of them are repeated, and we're not going to read these because notice the reference there, verses 15 to 68. Over 50 verses of some negative consequences that are going to happen if you don't do these things. And so the cause of these 50 plus verses, we'll look at verse 47. He says, because thou serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all your things. God says, I have given you an abundance of things. And when you don't serve the Lord with gladness and joyfulness because I have abundantly given you so much, he says, there's going to be some negative consequences. And aren't you glad that we have a season in the year of Thanksgiving? And of course, we aren't just thankful at Thanksgiving, but there are so many people that aren't thankful. The Bible says in the last days, that's what's going to be one characteristic, that people will be unthankful. And so God says, if you're not thankful to God for all the things he's given to you, then God can just as easily give you some curses as he gave you all the blessings. And so when we have our praise service out in the gym in a couple of weeks, we have opportunity to serve the Lord with joy and gladness and share with others all the abundance of the things that the Lord has done for us. And I hope you'll be prepared to share a testimony with us then. And then God says there's going to be condemnation in verse 58. And notice the two things that are emphasized in this verse when God says there's going to be condemnation. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of the law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear the glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. That is Jehovah Elohim is the Hebrew there. God says his word, his name. And those two things, God is highly exalted. There's none other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. The book of Psalms tells us that God has exalted his word above all his name. And in Revelation, we see when Jesus comes back, his name is called the Word of God. God exalts his word. God exalts his name. That's why he says, don't use God's name in vain. He says, take the word of God and make it very plain. Plaster it on the stones, whitewash it so it stands out, it's radiant, and people can see it, and you observe to do it. And if you don't, God says, if you dishonor God's name and dishonor God's word, there's going to be some condemnation coming. And part of that is the collapsing. And this is the way some people live today. Verses 66 and 67, he says, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and you will fear day and night, and thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. Just living in doubt and fear. Can you imagine? So many people live that way. God has given so much to them. Verse 67, God says,
they're not going to be satisfied. In the morning, you'll say, would to God it were even. And in the even, you'll say, would to God it were morning. People that are never satisfied. And God says, there's been an abundance of things that I've freely given to you, and you need to serve Him with joy and gladness and be thankful for all the things that God has given to us. Otherwise, you're going to be this kind of person that is not grateful, never satisfied. If it's morning, you want night. If it's night, you want morning. Just always complaining and about something. There, we have so much for which to give thanks. And we are God's people, which are a perceptive people. God says, as we move on now to chapter 29, the last chapter we see this morning, in verse 4, He says, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And here's the idea of one day again, a day that they go over. And God says, I've given you eyes to see, and I've given you ears to hear, because you are a perceptive people. You are a privileged people because you have seen the miracles. That's back up in verse 3. Your eyes have seen the signs and the great miracles. And God gave them this perception as they watched what God had done, how He had opened the Red Sea, how He had provided for them in the wilderness and crossed the Jordan River. God says, you're a privileged people. And we really are a privileged people. But it's not because of anything we've done that we're privileged. It's because of God's grace shining upon us. And not only were they a privileged people, but they were prosperous. In verse 9, it says that ye may prosper. God tells us in the verses between that He's reminding them of all the things that He did for them in the wilderness as they prospered. God says, your clothes didn't wear old. In verse 5, He says, you had plenty of bread. In verse 6 there, He says, I took care of your enemies. In verse 7, Sihon and Og, God says, I took care of all these things for you. And you were very blessed. You were a prosperous people, and you have some perception that others don't have. But you stand before God, as we all do. In verse 10 of chapter 29, it says, ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. And as He talks about standing before the Lord, they're individual people. Whenever Jesus ministered to crowds, He often fed the multitude. But the multitudes don't stand before God as a group. They stand before God individually. He says, your wives, your children, the stranger, we all will stand individually before God to answer for what have we done with His name and with His word. How have we honored and treated and received God's name and God's word? It's individually. Revelation 6:17 says, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And also, the idolatrous people will stand before Him. It says, whose heart turns away to serve other gods. All those who did not serve the Lord Jesus Christ and Jehovah Elohim, all those who have rejected Him, they're idolatrous people. And they will stand before God and give an answer to God. And all those people who are also infectious people. Notice verse 18, where He talks about the root that bears gall and wormwood. We read in Hebrews about the root of bitterness that springs up. The word gall here in Deuteronomy 29:18 is a word that has to do with poison, something that is life-threatening. And then the word wormwood means bitterness. So there's this contagious poison. And in Hebrews, it uses that to talk about bitterness. Bitterness is a contagious poison. And we don't have reason to be bitter, do we? We have reason to rejoice and eat and fellowship and enjoy all the blessings that God has given to us. But there are some people who are independent of God, and they will bless themselves. They don't need the blessings of God. They say they will bless themselves here in verse 19. It shall come to pass when he hears the words of this curse, he will bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my own heart there. And so God says he's going to root them out in verse 28 there. And the Lord rooted them out in anger there. Because we can't bless ourselves. We can't provide all these things. Only the Lord can do that. And as we come to the end, we come to that wonderful verse that ends chapter 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And something about this private information, this secret things that belong to the Lord. Well, it's secret, but it's familiar because it's revealed. God has chosen to reveal some things to his children. Now, he hasn't revealed everything to us. The Bible says now we know in part, but one day we're going to know in full there. And so there's information that God has shared with us as believers that unsaved people don't know. He has revealed it to us. And so knowledge is not so much the issue here. It says the secret things belong unto the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And so this information is family information. Remember, Judas asked when Jesus was talking about he was going to make himself known to the disciples and not to the world. He said, how are you going to do that? And of course, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. God has given to believers the Holy Spirit. And we understand the things of God that are revealed to us through the Holy Spirit because we're family. We understand some things that the world can't understand. We don't understand it all, obviously. And then lastly, this is functional information. God doesn't give us this information just so we're smarter than the lost or smarter than the heathen. It says he's given it to us and our children that, there's a purpose, that we may do all the words of this law. God has said, I'm plastering them on the whole stones so you can see them. They're very clear and plain. You know what you need to do. And you can either choose to live on Mount Gerizim and have all the blessings, or you can choose to live on Mount Ebal and have all the curses. Which do you want? Do you want to live on this mountain, or do you want to live on this mountain? And God says, whenever we choose to honor his word and honor his name, that we'll be on Mount Gerizim and we'll have the blessings that will overtake us when we are obedient to God's law. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessings that are ours. We know that all the blessings we have are because of your mercy and grace. We haven't earned them. They're gifts from you. And they're gifts in abundance that have overtaken us. And Lord, help us to be a thankful people, not just with the words of our mouth, though that is very important, but help us to live out a life of thanksgiving as well for the wonderful bounty of blessings that we have, even as the nation of Israel has. We thank you that we serve the Lord God Jehovah. And we thank you for giving us all of these blessings. Help us in our lives that we might uplift the word of God and the name of God. And that not only will it be very plain to us, that it will be very plain to others who watch our lives as well. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.